Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio, Sal Capaccio
on WGR.
Look at Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. It is Victory Monday, Playoff Victory Monday. Brought to you by Northwest. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We'll get some calls in with Sal as well. Jeremy and Joe. Sal, did you see Condoleezza Rice on the sideline? I got a report.
I did not see her. I was told she would be there.
Yeah, she was there.
And then someone explained, and I guess I knew this but forgot, that she's part owner, minority owner of the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. She also, as you probably know, years ago, her name was floated around as, you know, possible NFL commissioner. You know, she's been a lifelong NFL fan, but I did not see her specifically on the sidelines, no.
All right. Anybody else on the sidelines? You saw Kyle Williams, who... Got everybody off to a great start in that game.
I not only got a chance to catch up with Kyle, but his lovely wife, and I believe there are 6 children who, Jeremy, you have some kids. I have one.
6
and
children.
They're all, I think it's 6. I was trying to count. I mean, I think my counting took me up into the stands. I'm not sure. No, I joke because it's so funny, and they're all like right around probably, you know, Max's age, 11, and through high school, and, you know, it was just fun, and, you know, I remember Kyle's kids running around the stadium and after games, when he was playing here and being younger. And then one of his sons, and my apologies for forgetting his name, he had his jersey on and we talked. And I said, "You playing football?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "What position?" He said, "Linebacker." I'm like, "Okay, all right, here we go." Right? So got a chance to catch up with him as well. And that was great for him to be here. And, you know, he really got the crowd fired up. He said it right. He said, I have one job here today to get these walls shaken before this game, and that was pretty cool.
Well, Sal, it was a great day to be at the stadium. The Bills win. They do their job. I mean, it's probably Sean McDermott. For Sean McDermott, it's the kind of win he's going to love, right? A complete victory, offense, defense, special teams. Like, they just did the job pretty much start to finish. There's the hiccup on the first drive where Bo Nix hits them deep, but after that, they settled in, and they were in complete control.
Yeah, I agree with you. First drive was terrible. They gave up a long third down, and then they gave up a long touchdown. And 5 plays into the game, it's 7-0, and you're thinking, ooh, here we go. Like, this is going to be a tough game. And, you know, the Bills, for their own part on offense, kind of kept it a tough game early on because they couldn't really convert. The Bills' red zone offense wasn't great in this game. They only had 1 conversion inside the red zone. They go to halftime, 10-7, it should have been 10-10 if not for the field goal off the upright. You know, you're looking at possible, you know, tie game. But I think once they took the lead 10-7, they at least seemed like they were the better team and in control, and they really were kind of doing what they wanted to do game plan-wise. And then once the second half started, then it really started to snowball, and you saw that the Broncos were just not going to have any much success against the Bills' defense. And then the Bills' offense obviously just stayed on the field, moved the chains, did what they wanted to do. 26 first downs in this game. Their time of possession was 41 minutes, and they made some big plays as well.
How'd they do it, Sal, defensively? Like, they seemed to get pressure, but it wasn't always super quick, so maybe the coverage was really helping out as well. And then also, like, if one individual would be pointing out here, like, I was noticing Matt Milano, like, moving quickly. Like, he chased Nicks to the sidelines once early on, and maybe he and others were helping him not beat them with his legs.
Yeah, so a few things here, Joe. Number one, I saw Carl Jones, our buddy from Channel 4, with a tweet, and I think a lot of people really pushed back on this number, but according to Next Gen Stats, Carl wrote, Bo Nix was pressured on 14 of his 27 dropbacks. The Bills' pressure rate of close to 52% was the highest he's seen all season. If you watched the game, you'd say there's no way the Bills pressured him that much, because when I asked at the end of the game on social media, give me suggestions for arrow up, arrow down, one of the biggest and most was pass pressure. Bills didn't have any. Analytically, they did, I guess, according to Next Gen Stats. And again, we can parse these numbers, but I think what you were looking at was pressure in a different kind of way. I agree. I wrote arrow down pressure because I don't think they got to the quarterback enough. Like, I don't think they impacted him enough at the point of him throwing the football. However, if you watch the game, you could see Bo Nix didn't stand in the pocket a lot. He did get rid of it quick, but he had to move around a lot. He actually was pressured to his left, especially pressured to his right several times. He was scrambling. And that is pressure, too. If you can get him off his spot, as they like to say, and he's moving around, that's pressure. So the Bills actually did get more pressure than probably people realize. They didn't finish. They didn't get to him. But I think that was also by design a little bit by the Denver Broncos. So I think it's a little mix of both. I'm not saying they were great at it. They weren't. I would have liked to see a little bit more. They also tried, I think, a little bit more contained than actual, in that situation. You want to keep them boxed in a little bit. Second thing, how did they do it? They did it with the collective. They really did this was a 1-11th type of game. This is the typical and preaching Sean McDermott defensive type of game. There really were no real standouts in this game on defense, because everybody kind of did their job and did a good job and did what they were supposed to do. Now, that said, I think the best player on the Bills' defense yesterday was Matt Milano. And I think that says a lot about where Matt Milano has come from and through this injury. And all this stuff about Dorian Williams playing, I mean, I've respected it and said, look, I get he looks like he does some things still faster and better, but Matt's the better option at this point, considering how he's started to play and the fact that he processes so quickly. I don't think anybody can watch that game yesterday and A, not say that Matt Milano wasn't really, really good, and B, not say Matt Milano should be playing over Dorian Williams. To me, he was the best player. And one of the things that surprised me was how often they used him as a spy on Bo Nix. He was a spy a lot. And that was a really big deal for when he started to move. There was one play he got a credit for a sack for. You guys probably remember it near the Bills sideline. It's second or third drive, first quarter. And Milano chases him to the sideline, and I think Bo Nix was just stunned that Milano was there. He thought he had the edge, and he's like, holy cow. And then Milano got him, and by the way, he got credit for a sack because it was he tackled him right at the line of scrimmage. There was no gain. So I think so too, Joe. I think they did it with the collective. The most number of tackles for the Bills for one player was only 6, Terrell Bernard. I mean, that just shows in a game where you give up less than 230 yards, where one guy, the highest tackler you have is 6, that's just showing how great the collective was together.
Sal Capaccio joining us as we break down the Bills' win over the Broncos. Sal, let's dip into the injury report. The Barnes Firm injury report brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured for help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Ray Davis, Taron Johnson, Alec Anderson, Cam Lewis. So a few players left this game. Where do the Bills come out on the injury report?
Yeah, so the one that's really concerning is Ray Davis. He did leave with a concussion on that awful hit, and, you know, Josh felt really bad about, you know, throwing that ball where he did and, you know, leading Ray Davis kind of into the defender, if you will. I mean, that's just, you know, something that happens when you're trying to throw that little hot read and he sees the defender come and he laid it out there. You know, but it was also an awful hit. And Ray Davis was down, as we all saw. He went to the locker room. He was ruled out with a concussion. So we know that he's going to have to go through the protocol this week, guys. We know the game is Sunday at 6:30. We'll see where he goes. And obviously concern for Ray Davis on a humanistic level. Hopefully that he's okay. And then you see if he can progress through the protocol and where he is by the time Sunday rolls around. Taron Johnson had a very scary hit early on. You saw how he kind of had helmet to helmet as he went into the hole. He also was evaluated for head injury. He was cleared, but then they also had to evaluate him for a neck injury, which is also scary. He was cleared. He came back in to play as well. And then the other one was Cam Lewis, who was on the sidelines. He also had to be evaluated for a head injury. He went into the medical tent. He came out shortly after he was cleared to go. And I think, if I remember, I think that was head injury. It might have been neck as well, but I think that was head injury as well for Cam Lewis. But in any event, there were three guys kind of all similar situations there. Two of them returned. One is going to have to go through the protocol. He was out with a concussion, Ray Davis. I don't recall. I think Alec Anderson got worked on a little bit, guys, on the sidelines. We never had anything official on him, if I remember. Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, he had a calf injury. Sorry. Alec Anderson, thank you. Had a calf injury right before halftime. He went in, got some treatment, came back out. He played in the second half. He returned. And then you guys all saw probably on the TV broadcast Josh Allen's his finger.
Nail. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tracy asked him if he needed a manicure after the game, like it's, you know, fixed up. He said he was all right, just, you know, a little bit of whatever it was.
I think all in all, guys, I mean, that's a good report, you know, as good as you can have with a player that had a very scary injury, of course. Numbers-wise, they did not have Brandon Codrington, and of course, we can talk about how great Khalil Shakir did returning punts. If you'd like, it was interesting something he said to me after the game. But, you know, that being said, numbers wise, Ray Davis is the only one I think that didn't finish the game.
Sal Capaccio with us on the Western Hotline. Yeah, we're getting to that, Sal, because Codrington was limited and didn't play. And, you know, Shakir could not have done better. Yeah. Like, really, I saw you getting into it on Twitter a little bit about special teams because they did have the one big mistake, but otherwise, it felt like they did fine, and Shakir, even more than that, did. I mean, I don't know about the one that went to the one, if maybe he should have fair caught that. That might have been close, but every other punt felt like it just went as well as it possibly could have.
Yeah, listen, there's a big picture here, and there's a small picture. Let's start with Shakir himself. You know, Codrington is limited all week. We don't know if he's going to go, and as I've been saying all week, you're probably looking at Khalil Shakir. Now, Khalil Shakir can return punts. He's not just a catcher. But he's also a really safe option to just catch it. If you say, just go back there, catch the ball, we have Josh Allen, we'll be fine. But you're okay if you want him to return punts. Like, he can do it. And he's done it plenty in Boise State and in the NFL a little bit. And sure enough, he showed why. I mean, his contact balance is unbelievable, as we know. I mean, he hits guys and just bounces off them and keeps going. And then, wow, what a move he put on. I think it was Devin Key, number 26 in the hole on that one return. And then he just kept on his feet. And after the game, I interviewed him post-game on the field for the radio broadcast. And I asked him, you know, what was your week like preparing to, you know, be able to return punts? And he actually said that every single day at practice, he went inside the stadium and returned a bunch of punts. Like, he was preparing for that. He knew that he might be the guy. Catching punts in that stadium is way different than catching punts inside the field house where the Bills practiced all week. So I thought that was really interesting and insightful. You know, he was preparing the way he's supposed to. He went inside the stadium. He was catching those punts and he was ready, and it wasn't a super windy day. So that helped him out a lot, no doubt. Yeah, I don't think he made a mistake necessarily. Not that you said that, Joe. It's a good debate. You know, I think Khalil's so smart. He knows, you know, once it gets to the 5-yard line, maybe let it go. And then you take your chances. It was a nice punt by Riley Dixon. That also happened after the same on the same drive when they had the fake punt. And yeah, that last night I asked for suggestions, arrow up, arrow down, and a lot of people said arrow down special teams. Matt and Bove and I both also got into this on the podcast. We did a podcast last night because I'll still hold true to, I think special teams played really well overall. They had a really bad play, though. Really bad, really critical mistake. And by the way, on that mistake, I mean, no doubt, like, Matthew Smiley is the coach. It falls at his lap. He's got to have guys prepared. But I was told that Jamarcus Ingram, he specifically might have been targeted on that play because they felt that they could get something on him because of how he maybe plays, you know, the gunner spot on that. And, you know, they went after him. But either way, no matter if it's him or somebody else, you got to be a little bit better and be a little bit more aware. You're near midfield. I know it's 4th and 8. Marvin Mims made a nice catch. That's not a good play. You can't have that. But overall, guys, holy cow. Khalil Shakir on punts. Mac Hollins on the on the tackle was incredible on a great punt by Sam Martin. And I think the most hidden kind of thing that really helped the Bills in this game, how about the kickoffs from Tyler Bass? I mean, he either put them through the end zone, or in one case, he put one to the 1 yard line that skipped through that gave them the ball to 20 instead of the 30. Marvin Mims had zero impact on this game, and that is a win for special teams.
Sal Capaccio, we'll get some calls in with.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sal, 803-0550, Robin, Connecticut. Hey, Rob, good morning.
Oh, good morning. Three birds with one stone. How you doing, Sal? It's been a while. Jeremy, Joe, always a pleasure. First off, I'm going to be the first one to say I am not here to talk about the Ravens because it will be discussed enough this week, so I will sit back and listen. You know, I was very impressed last week when I would call. You know, some of the topics and questions were how nervous were you going into this Denver game and what do you expect? And my concern was the defense and stopping Denver on the third down conversions, which they did. 2 for 9, I believe it was, and I was very impressed with that. But the other thing was I was very happy and pleased with was the time of possession. That's what I wanted the most. And we did it, and it was a great game. And very impressed. And Jeremy, I have to ask you, how was the flyover? Because that is a beautiful, impressive aircraft.
Yes, it is.
With that, guys, I'll talk to you later. Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks. Yeah, the 810s that went over, it was great. I mean, everything about the pregame ceremony was awesome. And Bills fans, I don't know, I say this as one that goes into these games all the time now. It used to be for a long time. It's okay to go in halfway through the first quarter because who cares? And now it's an – Sal, you could speak to this too as someone who's there on the sidelines. It's an early arriving crowd now. People want to get in there, make sure you see the offense, make sure you're there for the pregame. Like, the Bills have a good thing going with all the presentation they do now.
Yeah, the NFL a few years ago, changed the gates opening from an hour and a half to 2 hours. Gates open at 11 for a 1 o'clock game, and right away fans start streaming down. And lots of fans come in. A lot of kids, you know, come in early. They want to see people warming up and the guys and say hi and scream to them and get them over if they can. And, you know, that's awesome. It just kind of really builds up from there. As far as the flyover, actually, maybe I should tweet. I have a really good video of on the sidelines of that flyover because I knew that those fighter jets were coming. And the national anthem was awesome. She, you know, some are shorter, some are longer. She was a little longer, so the flyover kind of happened before the anthem ended, but it was super cool. Really great atmosphere, no doubt, before the game. Rob brings up time of possession. They dominated there, and I don't believe personally that generally time of possession is anything that matters much these days in the NFL because you can score from anywhere.
Yeah, it's
right. Like, who cares?
It speaks to the success that you did have to me, Sal.
Yes, but in this game, I do think it told a story. Right, that's right, Jeremy. It told the story. The Bills controlled this game. Now they got beat on the five plays in. Who cares about time of possession? The Broncos don't care if they score 2 minutes into the game, right? Mm. But the Bills just did not give them anything, and they kept running the ball, and they went over 200 yards rushing. I mean, we haven't even talked about, I think the Bills' offensive line was so good in this game, and they played one of the best defensive fronts they played all year, and they just dominated them. 200 yards rushing. They had as many yards rushing as they've had since in a playoff game since 1995. We're talking Thurman Thomas, Derek Holmes, and Tim Tyndale at home against the, you know, Miami Dolphins in 1995. And their time of possession, to me, was something they wanted to do. They want to control the game. So, whereas I don't think that necessarily, you could look at time of possession, it's not going to correlate to wins and losses necessarily in the NFL, but I think in this game, it just told a story about how dominant the Bills were. I don't know if you guys saw the stat I put out last night. I went back and looked. The Bills had 471 yards of offense. The Broncos had 224 yards of offense. I put that in a stats query at StatsHead. I said, how many times in the playoffs has a team had at least 471 and give up as few as 224? This is the fourth time in the Super Bowl era that's happened. It's the first time in 23 years that a team had 471 or more and gave up 224 or less.
Sal Capaccio, a complete win for the Bills. We start to look ahead to the Baltimore Ravens, Sal. What do you want? You want to get a quick thought in on that? Is it appropriate? I mean, the league wins here with a 6:30 Sunday night game, Bills-Ravens. I mean, it is game of the year caliber kind of stuff, and we have an assurance that one of these two guys is going to the AFC Championship game. I'm glad the game is here. I know Bills fans have had the Ravens in their heads probably for the entire season since they lost in Baltimore, the Bills did. So, I don't know. I mean, it's a dragon to slay, and it's a big challenge.
No doubt. I mean, it's going to be a tough game. Odds makers, I think right now of the Bills, it's a 1-point favorite. That's essentially a pick 'em. That's probably just because it is at home. I mean, we all know what happened when the Bills went to Baltimore, and you know, Baltimore just really put it on them, and the Bills were without really all three members of the second level of their defense, which was Terrell Bernard and Taron Johnson and Matt Milano in that game. But I mean, as much as that might help, I don't know if it would have mattered in that game because Baltimore was just rolling and they had a great game plan, and the Bills' offense wasn't doing what they're supposed to be doing. Khalil Shakir got hurt early in that game. Well, these guys are healthy now. They're playing. So go play football and, you know, do a better job and stop Derrick Henry because he controlled that game and they controlled that with him. And obviously Lamar made his share of plays. So you're right from an NFL standpoint. You know, right away when we kind of knew the Bills were going to win, I asked Tracy Wilson, what do you think about next week? And she told me right away, she said, we'd love to have this game. We want to come back here. We think this is what we want, like meaning Nance and Romo and her. And they are. They're coming back. Like, this is the game that NFL wants in prime time. They're going to get it in prime time. They're getting the two players who most likely are going to finish 1-2 in whatever order in the MVP race. Two players who this weekend showed why they are the MVP caliber quarterbacks they are with the performances they put on in their respective games. We are looking at a possible weather game in some sort of way. Pat Hammer and I have been texting him, and it's possible. You know, weather could play a factor. We'll see. We're still 6 days out. It's going to be a really, really interesting week leading up. No doubt about it.
Sal Capaccio on the Wester Hotline. Sal coming up at 10 o'clock for the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Thank you, Sal.
You got it, guys.
All right. Bills and Ravens. You pointed out something funny. It's a good catch by you. That last night on NBC when they're telling you the games that are coming up next
goodness.
Week.
Oh, my goodness.
What a catch by Joe this is.
They put up the graphic announcing, this is like right after the Tampa game had ended, Tampa-Washington.
I tried to stay up. I wanted to stay up and find out when the game was.
That's
and then I decided, you know what? I can be a normal person and just wake up in the morning and find out what the game is.
I wanted to see. So like, I really wanted to know, so I'm going to wake up. Or I'm going to stay up till it. So they put the graphic up right after the game, like, okay, here's the divisional slate. And you're looking at them, and okay, 4:30 Saturday, Texans, Chiefs, 8 o'clock, Commanders, Lions, 2 o'clock, NFC winner tonight versus Eagles, and then 6:30 Bills and Ravens. Wait a minute, 2 o'clock. I thought that was going to be at 3, and then sure enough, you go looking, oh yeah, kickoff is at 3. Yeah. They gave you the time of their pregame, because they're on NBC,
yeah,
as 2, but they don't say that. while giving you three other kickoff times.
Sneaky.
They didn't give you four pregame times. They gave you three kickoff times and one pregame time without telling you. Terrible job.
Well, hold on. As sneaky Joe yourself, shouldn't you appreciate that sneakiness? That's a pretty sneaky move from NBC. I feel like you got to respect it on a level.
No, I only like it when I do it. Something like that.
All right. We'll get some calls in. 803-0550. It's Victory Monday, a playoff Victory Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Wide open segment. Let's chat about it. Let's chat Bills Broncos, Bills Ravens. Howard sending me stats on Lamar's playoff career and Allen's playoff career. Get you those as well. 803-0550. We have some lines for you and plenty to talk about here. Bills win. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
High driven ball. He gets it at the 14, and he is blistered by Mac Hollins. Oh, my goodness. That's a wallet phone keys hit because Marvin Mims is looking for all three of them.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.